Okay, so Nefeshchaim, Perek Yud, we're in the 10th chapter. And what we've just analyzed in the previous chapters is this idea that the people, that the Kruvim, right, in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kruvim were structured such that they would mirror the relationship between God and man, right? That's really the key theme we're getting to. But also he's analyzed the fact there's different levels of service of Hashem. And this is what's called doing Hashem's will, not doing Hashem's will. And he spoke about the general difference between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's approach Rabbi Shmuel's approach. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai believed that Rabbi Shmuel was saying that we have to do some investment in this world, some work, and Rabbi Shimon, that's the ideal. The ideal is that people should be doing a minimal engagement with the world, but an engagement with the world. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was saying, "What do you mean? Torah is the key. That's what we got to do. And we should, the ideal therefore, spend our entire day doing Torah and nothing else." So that is in essence what they were arguing. And what he wants to say is that therefore, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kruvim were set facing exactly one another because they were aiming at Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's goal, which is the 100% service of Hashem. If you like, a 100% dedicating of the day and the time to service of Hashem. Whereas in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, when he set up the Beis HaMikdash, he set them almost facing each other, but slightly away, because that was a time when they felt the ideal or the most perfect thing they could strive for is like a 90% of the day dedicated to service of Hashem. Of course, even working can also be service of Hashem, but that's not how he's looking at it here. And in this sense, although it seems like this whole thing is a digression off the main theme, there's a number of points he's going to draw out from it, but he's also kind of, subliminally, he's overtly setting you up for where he's going to eventually get to in the importance of a life dedicated to the study of Torah, which is going to be very central for him. But the other major thing he said is that, and this is the key, is that, okay, so in Shlomo HaMelech's time, the face that represents the Jewish people looks slightly away, but why is the face that represents God's relationship with us facing slightly away as well? And that was the key point that he was trying to get to, that it will always parallel us. That's what it means. All along, he set it up that we are the Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God. We are, it's our actions that Hashem runs the world in reflection of and according to. And he's finally now really identified this reflection principle. It's not that we're literally the soul of the worlds, right? Although to some degree we talk about it that way. It's that Hashem's interaction with us, which is the Olamos or the worlds, is an exact reflection of our interaction with him. That's what's going on. Now we come to chapter 10. Now we can also solve a problem. There's been a debate, right? We can reach a conclusion or a compromise position. Not a compromise, we can understand the different sides. The big debate that we see between the great Rishonim and the great medieval commentators, and earlier than that, is a person who keeps Torah, namely a Jew, right? Is somebody, a Jew keeping Torah, do they reach a level higher than a Malach? Or is the Malach greater than even someone keeping Torah? Right? In other words, the Torah comes to a place higher than a Malach. So when we observe it, in one sense, you might think we're higher than a Malach, higher than the beings, the angels, the forces, the algorithms that are driving creation. We've spoken about this before. Or are they higher than us, right? How do we define this? What do we mean? On the one hand, we're clearly here down in the physical world, and they are operating in levels much higher than us. On the other hand, we're touching the Torah and the kind of the soul, the ideal soul of Yisrael and of Adam and all these things, and they could be higher than them. So he's going to now reconcile. And this is a debate that happens. The Rav Sadia Gaon speaks about it, and the Ramban speaks about it. But Ezra speaks about it. It's Rav Sadia Gaon saying, then Ibn Ezra, the Ramban. Okay. So he says that the answer is, Kivade Malach Adam Adam. Of course, a Malach, of course, that which is beyond the physical world is greater than we are. Hey, Be'etzem also, whether we're talking about the metaphysical essence, Hey, Be'goydel Kudushos, and if Lasag also, we're talking about the holiness, the level of grasp they have of God. Of course, you can't compare a human stuck down in a genetic, biological body to a being that is the like in a higher world, a higher projected reality that's driving things in this world. He quotes Zohar Chodesh over here about the Malachim being close to the flow that's coming into the world through the universes, etc. Fine. But there is a sense in which we have a benefit over these beings. We can lift worlds higher than they can. Our actions impact worlds higher than them. That's what it means. No malach can do that. They operate in the world they operate in. Things come above them. They drive things down below them. That's how they fit into the causal structure. We may be much lower than them, but our actions make impact, have a cause effect in places much higher than them. That's the key. So in that sense, we're greater than them. In the other sense, they're greater than us. It, like a lot of things, by the way, it's a very deep concept in Torah. Greater than is not a natural word we see a lot of in Torah. Right, we could say, when we say something better or worse, we usually mean, does it fulfill its purpose or not? Right? Is a Kohen better than a Yisrael? Is a man or woman better than one another? These aren't real natural parts of our vocabulary and thinking, because they're all just different with different roles to play. So is a human better than a malach better than a human? Silly question. But even if we mean higher than, you still can look at the question differently. And generally speaking, when everything has different roles, often things will be higher and lower and this and that. And that's why a lot of concepts we kind of use in our Western evaluative system don't work when you try to apply them to the Torah. That's a general point. Here, it's complicated by the fact that it depends which way you look at it, and you'll see different answers. Okay. And this is all based on the reasoning we said. Really, a malach is like, I've described it as an algorithm, but it is a singular power. It's something that can do one sort of thing. But it doesn't include all the worlds in what it does. It is a part of all the worlds, but it doesn't include them in what it does. And he quotes, gets a proof from the Eitz HaChaim, which is Arizal's writing, etc., etc. Therefore, the malach can only operate in the arena it operates in. That's all it can do. It cannot unify, tie together, maneuver, and impact every world on worlds that are higher than them. Because it's not composed of them. It's not in partnership with them. It's not comprised of them or in any way attached to them, other than something above it causes things to them. They can cause things below. Even though a malach can rise up a little bit and attach itself to realms higher than it, even that it can't really do itself. So we talk about malachim as standing still. It means they have a fixed position in the systems and the networks and a fixed place where they operate. Yishayahu, in the sixth chapter, one of his chapters where he sees deep things, the Srofim are standing. Now, they're not physically standing, but it means they are in a stable position within the deeper inner world. Fine. Since Adam, the human, is the only being that can raise up or connect or meyachad or unify the olamas, the worlds, the oris, the lights, v'kach ma'asa, through the actions, machamashu kolam makulam, in as much as we are integrated within us and comprised of all of them, as gama malach masig aliyas v'sosefas kedusha al kedushosai, then the malach also grasps the right, and as when we unify all the worlds, then the malach in some sense is unified. This spirituality flowing up and down, in and out, then in some sense there's more holiness flowing through them that they can, and then in that sense they become holier. Right? Asher, right, it's like if you're opening water channels anywhere, no matter where someone is, they'll get wet. So if you're opening kedusha, holiness channels, then everyone everywhere becomes elevated. Asher, v'b'kach ma'asa Adam, but ultimately it's coming through the actions of us. V'nesha gamu kolol ba'adam, because every malach is also integrated within the single soul of humanity. So every world and every angel, everything is within us. And as we move, yeah, go on, sorry, yeah? Absolutely, because we are like where the network, the node in which all of reality and creation ties in. And as we move, Hashem moves everything else. Now, as we said, it's not literally that we're on top of it, but whatever we do, right, Hashem will maneuver the equivalent force. It's like we're in control, even though we're not. It's a reflection of our actions. But it's because everything's, the metaphysics of that in the, is that everything's wired into us. And as we maneuver inside, outside, emotionally, intellectually, physically, all the things we're doing are universes and worlds and inner dimensions are maneuvering around in response to that. And therefore, yes, we are comprised of kind of the wiring of all of, metaphorically, of all of creation existence, including the malachim, including those beings. Fine. The gam, hagimel, b'chinas, and aran, and even the three levels that we call nefesh, ruach, and neshama, shel adam atzmai. Right now, nefesh, ruach, and neshama are three levels of consciousness or beyond consciousness of what we might call the soul. Levels of soul. Later on, he's going to talk now in quite length about all of this. All of this is setting up things. The soul that impacts us doesn't by itself touch all these worlds. It's only at the point the soul itself touches the us, which includes everything physical, mental, spiritual, all that's what happens. And therefore the souls can only have that impact when they come all the way down into this world where they then connect with everything else via us. A Masi Book of Adam, it needs the body of the human too. It needs that which the nexus of all creation is where the physical, the spiritual, everything meets together, and that's in the human, as the human is keeping Torah. That Hashem breathes whatever it is the soul of life into the bodily genetic material. Although this was actually before there was a fully physical form, it was the one level above the level of the Garden of Eden. But that's all, whatever the lowest level is at that point, that's where the unifying happens. Shekololamas, we became the soul of the lives of all the worlds, as we said in chapter 4. And this is also the image of the ladder that Yaakov Avinu has when he leaves Israel. And of course, we know from the Rambam, the ladder is really the pathway all the way to God, right? So, Ein Raim Amni brings a part of the Zoya, that Jacob dreams and sees a ladder, Sulam Vada Ionishmas Chaim. That ladder is obviously the soul of life. See over there, Ein Shal. Isbara, etc. We'll clarify that later on in the 19th chapter. And that's why the angels are going up and down in it, in this ladder. Think what that means, right? Through the soul of the human, the angels are risen, arising, or lowering. You see what's going on? Once we realize this, it's the immense power. Nishmas Chaim, which is Mutzav Aretz, are rooted in the ground. That's the way the ladder is described. It's rooted in the ground, stretching to heaven. Angels ascend and descend in it or through it. And then God's presence is upon it. And that one extreme goes all the way down into the human being. Okay, so it's a short chapter. Now we can turn into the chapter 11, which really will conclude this section. We're still in section 1, but in now having all this clarified the role of what we are and what we're doing and our relationship with all the worlds, and having set up some of the other subtle dynamics, after this chapter we'll then move into the next stage. Okay. Now this is a Zatam. This is the reason Shamalachim Makdishim Bishme Moram, why the angels that we describe these Malachim in the prophetic works as having the role of sanctifying God's name. Now we say this every day in Kedusha. We will sanctify your name, God, Bishme Moram in the heavens, like the angels do, right? Or Nusosfar says it slightly differently. But either way, they wait to do what they do in bringing the holiness through the worlds until we do it down here. But they're higher than us. Why are they waiting for us? It's not because they want to be nice to us or honor us in some way. They have no ability to turn on the algorithm or to turn themselves on, if you like. They're part of the machinery, but the machinery's not been switched on until we do it, till we act. This is the power. the depth of this. Ki inyan amiras hakedusha. So when we're in shul saying kedusha, you have to understand what's going on. We are literally switching on the inner dynamics of all. Yes. In particular, in this case, when we're talking about the malachim switching on their kedusha, meaning flowing positive energy into the world, what that the words they say is kodesh, 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 Hashem tzavakos, right? Holy, holy, holy is Hashem. That each word holy is moving holiness down from one level to another. They can't do that till we do that down here. When we do that down here, we switch the lights on, if you like, on that part, and the program springs into action, and then it starts implementing kodesh, 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 which is what they do. So we, by declaring it here, then in response to that, everything ignites up there and they become activated and they can do it. And then if you're talking, you're muted. Okay. It's a powerful thing to think about when we're saying Kedusha, that any of these things, right? What they're teaching us here, based on the Kabbalah of, the Kabbalah of the Arizal and so on, also of the Vilna Gaon. He's going to talk. He talks about prayer in the second section, the second gate of this, and basically talks there about the fact. No, but you're right to jump the gun. It's true. And there he talks about the fact that the prayers themselves are not just comprised by any old rabbis. They're comprised by the last of the Nevi'im, of the prophets. And there's a whole different level what they were touching, deeper than Kabbalah could take, deeper than anything could take us to. But yes, those things are impacting everywhere. But here specifically, we are talking about the world of the angels, because Kedusha is literally talking about this, saying we're going to sanctify you like they do, but actually we have to do it first. Although they may have they may be above us, we have to switch them on. And by us saying to Hashem, we want to bring sanctity of you in the world, the mechanism that does that then switches on and does it. That's what he's saying. What is the whole point of Kedusha? What does Kedusha mean? What does it mean that we say Kedusha? So one sec. Asher Kedusha Solomon is here. We said, Lo Shem Chok, yeah, etc. Fine. Ki inyan amiras HaKedusha Allah Asalam. It's Kashas Kol Olam Ba'olam Shem Elav. If you think what Kedusha is saying, Kodosh, 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 Shem Tzavakas, holy, 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 is actually each time you say the word holy, you are unifying two worlds, a higher world and a lower world. Right, that's what's going on. And one sec. Okay, sorry. Sorry, let me just see where we are. Yeah. Each time we say Kodesh, 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 right? What we're doing is we're unifying a higher world and a lower world. And therefore, Kodesh means like, let the holiness flow down. By connecting the two worlds, we open the channels, it flows into the next layer of reality. Then Kodesh, the next thing happens, the next layer of reality. Kodesh, next. So it flows through the three main layers of reality. Fine, that's what's going on. Each world connects the world above it. It adds powers of power, positive energy and holiness, and the sparks of as well. Then he brings a whole bunch of quotes from the Zohar that basically says this point and proves that this is not his own idea. And then also from the Eitz Chaim, from the Arizal, which talks about Chazaras Amida, Chazaras Hashatz. And there it explains that the Kavana of saying Kedusha is Halas, this Kashus Oilomis Elyonim, is exactly this point, connecting all the worlds, throw through there more Kedusha, etc. And then he puts in brackets, maybe that's why we stand on tiptoes. It's not a halacha, you know, it's everyone, the Jewish people all over, when they do Kedusha, they stand on tiptoes for the words Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. We already saw a possible earlier reason as well to be like the malach who can't move, right? But also, and we spoke about the heel and the foot and all this in the earlier chapters, but there's another dimension, which is as we move up our body physically, it's like we're saying that each world is plugging into the world above. So Kodesh do it once, one plugs in, another one plugs in, another one plugs in, and then the holiness flows through. So it's like we're connecting the pipework and switching it all on. Okay, no malach themselves can do that because they are operating within the system. We're the ones plugging the system together. They are Like, it's like, I guess they're like a wire or like an algorithm. Till the machinery switches on, the algorithms are inert. They can't do anything. Once it switches on, they can do it. So it's like we're sitting inside the virtual reality game, if you like, or the virtual world. But because our actions, as we move in certain ways, the program, the background, the hardware is shifting into place or bits of software coming, and then the programs start to whir into life. It's that kind of thing. So even though the programs are deeper than us and generating the impact in reality that we then experience, it's ultimately the programs themselves can't start running, those types of programs at least, until we've done what we've done. Okay? That's right. Our actions are the triggers for all of these things to happen. That's essentially the fundamental hypothesis of this entire gate. Or certainly its first 11 chapters. Exactly. It's a very big responsibility. Yeah, yeah. He wants us to take from here. Absolutely. It's a big responsibility, yeah. And it's very empowering. It's got a little bit of awe, a little bit of trepidation. But that, all significant things do. If you're on a world stage, there's something very powerful about that and something very scary about that, right? There's, you know, the bigger the stage you want to play on, but at the same time, we all really want to play on that stage. And what he's saying is, unbeknownst to us, we actually all are. That's what Hashem gave, little actions. These are transformative in ways we can't imagine. Now, this is all based on the Kabbalah, talking about what's going on behind the scenes. There's even levels to which this happens within the natural world. We learned from things like COVID how quickly one action can impact another person, impact another person, impact another person. So just impacting one person positively or negatively will sooner or later get to all 7 billion people on the planet. So there's many directions in which all of this works. But he's saying, yeah, you're playing on a much bigger stage than you think. Your actions matter much, much more. And by the way, if people really understood how much they matter to Hashem, I think people would be inspired. Yeah, there'd be a little bit awe and trepidation, but that's good. There will be the good orange. It's the nervousness before the big match type of thing. But we're playing in the biggest match of all. We are here. We dream of the world being rectified. We think, what can I do? We're actually doing things all the time that are impacting the world in ways we can't imagine. We can't directly see it unless we're super, super sensitive, because there's billions of people doing the same thing, or millions or whatever numbers doing which mitzvah as well. But at the end of the day, this is really what's happening. Yeah, it's amazing. None of these spiritual beings can do this. And that's why in this particular instance, it's until Kedusha that they all stay suspended. Now suppose, because Kedusha is one of our jobs as a Jewish people, suppose we all didn't do it, God forbid. That was a conspiracy and the whole Jewish world got together and there wasn't a single member of the Jewish people doing this. Then none of these things could do what they could do Kedusha. Kedusha's handed to us to do. It couldn't happen. And this is what the Zayah and Barak of Tzadi on basis, which means the whole world would lose out as a result, right? And that's what the Navi says, but Omdon Terafenokan Feyam, right? What that means, right, when they stand still, their wings kind of soften. So Yisrael Lamata Omdim Shoskim, if we stood quietly, made it Terafenokan Feyam Shalomani Mala, their wings will weaken. They can keep Indian Amir's Kedushasham. What does kanfeya mean? Wings let you be elevated, but they can't be elevated. That's what we've got the responsibility to do down here. K'ma'amar was al-kozav echadim, etc. And he goes through the Gemara and Chagiga, the different psukim. I mean, imato amar chiyom marav, oysa shoyim b'em shira, etc. Okay, he quotes the sources here. V'la zois, ha'moin tzivais ma'ala kitas kitas yesh. Right? In the higher worlds, there are many, many different groups. One group of inner beings called the Seraphim say the words Kadosh. Like it says in Echolos, the Bereshis, Pugude Bechadot, again, other Kabbalistic sources. Seraphim owned him in Mal, Korazel, Zeva, Omar Kadosh. The next group, Hashem's Umas, Lumasa, Meshaprim, Omer Baruch. So one group operates Kadosh, 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 those words, holy, holy, holy is Hashem, which plugs the worlds together. Another one says, Baruch Kavod Hashem in Makomo. blessed is the glory of Hashem. There should be an expansion of the glory of God from his place. There's another type of being or type of programming called the Ofanim, and they do that. Exactly as we say in the blessings around Kriya Shema, that each one sanctifies according to where it lies within the system. But we, down here below, amongst humanity, we say both. So although there's different worlds and different operating systems and different software, if you like, in all of these things, we do all of them because they're wired in. They're wired to the human down here. And one of our jobs as a Jewish people is this Kedusha bit, right? So we've got to say, because we are wired into all these. There's also another thing you don't have to do as a Jew, but you can do, is say Perek Shira. Now, Perek Shira is a chapter of rabbinic writing that talks about all the biblical verses, the different praises the natural world gives to God. And there's a lot written about how powerful it is to say it and so on. Through saying this, right? He's unifying all the natural and supernatural forces. Is giving power to the various forces. And that gives power of all the sources of all these things to impact the lower worlds. Okay, fine. Now, by the way, this is one of the important reasons as to why in Egypt they were so into the different parts of the natural world. They didn't necessarily consciously understand it, but there was spiritual forces of programs behind each part of the natural world. That's where pagan gods came from. Instead of serving Hashem, they're serving the system, right? And that's part of the whole idea of Pesach, is to rise above the system. But that's something we do on Seder night. But that's a whole different discussion.